Welcome to Recurring Nightmares, episode 71. I am Jeff, joined as always by Chris.
Hey.
And we have special guest on this episode, our good friend Javi. It's been a minute, but we love to bring him on when we're doing the absolute worst fucking shit that I could find.
Howdy. So, I think last time I was on, we talked about Halloween 2, so you're right, yeah.
Yeah. And we did, Chris had forgot about this, but I was like, I'm pretty sure Javi did, like, Who Killed Captain Alex?
And, yeah.
Deadbeat by Dawn. We did that one.
Yeah,
Deadbeat by Dawn. I had to have you come on to defend Deadbeat by Dawn for me.
So good.
This episode, we're going to do a couple of Albert Pune films. I'll discuss why before we get into them. But as always, we talk about what we've been watching lately. And Chris, I'll throw it to you first. What have you been watching, dude?
Not much, but I did make it out to the movies a couple times since we last recorded. I saw the new Gore Verbinski film, Good Luck, Have Fun, Don't Die, which is a comedic kind of take on, like, we're trying to stop the apocalypse, like the robot AI apocalypse from happening. This guy has the ability to go back in time with some sort of time machine thing, and he assembles a team and they try to stop the master AI from taking place. It's a lot of fun. It's very stupid, but it's a ton of fun. Sam Rockwell plays like the main guy. He's the guy from the future. I don't actually think he even has a name in the movie. And he is just unhinged in it. And then he has assembled this team of people that he gets from a diner. And they go to try to save the world by crawling across town. And the AI is trying to stop them, like, at all points. So, like, they have Hitman coming after them, and then they have, like, kid zombies that are all glued to their phones. There is a giant AI cat that comes out of nowhere at one point. It's insane. ton of fun. Laughed all the way throughout it. The entire crowd that I saw it with really seemed to love it, too. So, it's a good time. I don't know if it's still in theaters. I don't know how well it did there, but it's only been out for like 2 weeks. But,
well, I mean, you know, that's the theatrical window now. You
know? Basically, roughly 2 weeks. So, yeah, I don't think it did particularly great, but I had a lot of fun watching it. I think it'll be, if it hasn't hit like on demand yet, it'll be there soon. So, quite a bit of fun. Very like loopy, kind of like in the way Everything Everywhere All at Once is, like just insane shit happening on screen at all times.
I heard he's like gone through it a bunch of times so that like he knows how everyone will react when they do shit like that.
So like he has like gone, I think he said it's like his 100 and something time through. And they've all failed. Every run has failed. Basically, he's like in a roguelike.
It's like an Edge of Tomorrow kind of thing.
Yeah, where it's like I keep failing, so I keep like assembling a new team. And sometimes he has these people, sometimes he has those people. So like the entire intro is hysterical because he's trying to convince these people who have never seen him before that he's from the future, that he, you know, this is what's going to happen. And they don't all believe. And then he just starts like talking about like, you're not coming with me because you're fucking terrible. And then explains why to him. And like, you, his date, you're not going to make it. So like he goes through like all these people, and it's a very funny intro. And then just like the adventure to this little house where it's like a 10-year-old boy is like the one that is creating the AI. And they have to stop him. It's a ton of fun.
Good. Abby, the Edge of Tomorrow pull. Good one.
Yeah.
Dude, Edge of Tomorrow is great. Good movie.
Yeah. This much more comedic than that. but yeah, sure, similar where it's like, you know, trying to redo this thing over and over again. And I saw one other thing I want to talk about. Cold Storage, which is the new, I wouldn't say Liam Neeson film, but he is in it. It's Joe Keery, I don't know how to pronounce it. The guy from Stranger Things and Georgina Campbell are in it. And it's a zombie type movie where there is this like storage unit on top of an old military base that is housing this horrid disease thing that can turn people into zombies, and containment breaks underneath this thing, and so a zombie apocalypse is basically breaking out over this storage unit where Keery and Campbell work, and Liam Neeson is like this guy who has encountered it before and he's trying to stop it, but he is old and his back keeps seizing up, so he can't really move around. It's also a ton of fun. I would definitely wait for that one to come on like streaming, but I had a good time with it. It is well worth the 90 minutes that I spent watching it. So
you saw this in theaters?
Yep.
Wow.
I didn't even know that was a theatrical.
Yeah, and I don't know how long it was out because it only made $2.2 million. But I think we've talked about this before. My theater right by my house is one of the biggest in the country, and it gets like almost everything. Very rarely do we miss out on, even if it's only something that like plays for a weekend. We normally get just about everything. So.
Yeah, well, I live in DeKalb, Illinois, so I get anytime there's like something slightly niche or whatever, like I'm just like, it never comes, or sometimes it'll come like a month late, like Everything Everywhere All at Once did that. But yeah, I was wanting to see this like Nirvana the band, the whatever fucking movie.
Oh yeah,
and I didn't get it. And now I'm mad because it's had its 2 week window. Put it on fucking Amazon so I can buy that shit. Anyways, yep. Anything else, Chris?
Nope, that is it for the most part. Been playing a lot of games, so
yeah. I've just been watching a ton of TV, but we'll get to me in a minute. Also playing a ton of games. Resident Evil, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Javi, you seen anything interesting lately?
As far as going to the movies, like to the theater, I did see Send Help a couple weeks back. Nice. I did enjoy that. It was definitely Sam Raimi just having some fun making an original film for once. It's nice. And I really enjoyed it. It did have some like subpar CGI. But it didn't really matter with a movie of that tone. Like we're just here to like goof around and indulge Sam Raimi and all the gore and shit that he likes. But that was super fun. And then me and my wife have a thing we do called Double Feature Friday. And
I tried doing this.
Oh yeah,
it's great, man.
Yeah. But we don't commit to every Friday. It's like if we're in the mood. But
yeah.
The key factor though is like every movie chain links to the next in some way, and we try to make it not like this actor's in both movies or the same director. We try to like get really creative with it, and we've been doing it for a few years now, and the most important thing is to log it, like make sure you can look back, because you will forget what you've seen and how you got there. And that's the fun, is looking at the list over time, being like, oh man, remember that? So,
or I don't remember that one at all.
Yeah,
I've looked through like the movies we've reviewed on here, and there's certain months where I'm just like, what was that? I don't remember that
at all. Yeah, you guys are inadvertently playing the game already by doing this podcast. Yeah. So that's pretty great.
I guess I do that with my wife because she does get forced to watch all this.
To watch these.
But the thing is, though, you guys are linking just the two movies you're watching. You're not linking it to the previous movie.
Oh, it's like a continuous link.
It's forever, yeah.
Oh, my God. Which
you can get to all sorts of crazy places, and it's fun to be like, how did we get here?
So it's like 60 degrees.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the first movie we saw was Poor Things. This is both of our first time watching that. And just for how we got there, we watched 1927's Metropolis the week before. And the link between Metropolis and Poor Things is putting a woman into another woman. And so, yeah. Poor Things, we both loved. Like, I gave it max stars on Letterboxd. I thought it was just really great and visually spectacular. Really, really funny. Mark Ruffalo is hysterical. Just a really cool breath of fresh air kind of movie.
So I saw that when it came out, and I loved it so much that I made us review it on the show.
Nice.
We did it with Frankenhooker.
Oh, okay. Kind of the same movie. That's for sure, for sure.
But yeah, Ruffalo's so fucking funny in it.
Dude, right? So we really liked that. And then we paired that with, like, this felt like we were watching films made by, like, different species. Like, they weren't even human. we watched Poor Things. We both, like, as high on it as possible. And then we lead right into 13 going on 30. And the connection is a girl escapes the social structures of her time. And then once we started the movie, as this often happens more than you'd think, I was hit in the face with, this also has Mark Ruffalo. And he also kisses the underage girl in a woman's body in both movies. Like, what the fuck? Could not have predicted that. This is the most, like, I'm a mark for this kind of movie. I really love rom-coms. Like, it's just like, I don't even want to say guilty pleasure. It's a pleasure. I like rom-coms a lot. They're kind of cozy. Fun. Yeah, yeah. But this one had nothing going for it. It was just so... You know what it is? It's kind of like an interesting time capsule of the time. There's a lot of weird early 2000s stuff. She has like a picture of her and Mayor Rudy Giuliani from New York, like in her office. It's like, man, that does not age well. There's a whole bunch of stuff like that going on in there. But yeah, it was a brain dead movie. I did not enjoy it at all. I gave it as low a score as possible, complete opposite of Poor Things. But as for movies, that's about it. I've just been playing a lot of Resident Evil. So
hell yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Moving along, I guess I only have a couple things. I apologize if I go too long on industry here, but, first off, Javi, have you seen the show Industry on HBO or are you aware of it?
No, not at all, actually.
Okay. It's a show, I was telling Chris about it on the last episode, and I had gotten the fourth season just wrapped up this last Sunday on HBO. Mm. I had started it like a month ago, and I was trying to catch up in time. And when we talked about it last, I was like through the second season. And I was telling Chris about it last time, and basically, basic premise, at least of the first season, is that you're following like a group of young people who just graduated from college and they're trying to break into the world of finance, and they all get hired by this big investment bank, and they're trying to survive like their 90 days. Like, you know, they're only going to keep some of the people. That's kind of what the premise of the first season is. It's kind of like a British Wall Street, lots of drugs, lots of sex, and, you know, capitalism.
Yep.
And what I had told Chris about it when we talked about it last time is that it's very sexually explicit, like even for HBO, and it's very dark and disturbing and like upsetting to watch. Like, there's things that happen on the show where you're just like, God, like, there was an episode after I talked to Chris that like when we finished it, I like just turned to my wife and I was like, do you want to play Mario Kart? Like, I just, you know what I mean? Like, I needed to get out of that headspace. Like, it was just too much.
Sure.
Which is crazy because, like, you're like, how dark could a show about, you know, basically British Wall Street get? And I guess the answer is pretty fucking dark. But what I had also told Chris is that I heard that after the second season, like, there's a huge jump in quality and it starts to get better and better through season 3 and 4, and that it kind of evolves. But I did not know at the time. But now I'm all caught up. I caught the finale that just aired like on Sunday, and everything I said continues to be true, and everything I heard ended up being true. It does continue to evolve, and it becomes more like assured and confident in what it's doing. Like I said, it's a bunch of young people trying to be successful and get rich and shit. And by the fourth season, it's basically like the investment bank that they all worked at is no longer exists. It's like maybe like a shell of its former self owned by the Saudis. The show in season 4 like evolves into like this corporate espionage thriller. And the characters evolve in huge and, again, upsetting ways. So one of the two main girl, like main, there's like two main characters, Harper and this girl, Yasmin. This girl, Yasmin, at the start of the show is like this naive and innocent young girl. And by the end of season 4, she's basically Ghislaine Maxwell. And I won't go too long on this because I know neither of you have seen this, but when you hear this recommended, no one ever touches on the things that I think are like very noteworthy about the show, which is, again, the sexual content and how dark it can get. So I'll give you guys an example of how dark it can get. Like, mean and cynical does not even begin to describe how this show is. So there is a character who he becomes suicidal after his wife is executed in front of him for his gambling debt. And in one episode, he spends all night doing coke with some like guy that he meets at a bar, like some guy he doesn't know. The guy that he just met overdoses and dies when they're doing the coke. And he decides it's time to kill myself. And he does this by going out on his balcony and jumping off the building. Except since this is industry and it's going to be even worse than you can imagine, he survives the fall. And they show the gore and the aftermath of that. Like, him dragging himself on the ground as his legs are, like, trailing behind him, completely shattered. And I think that was the episode where I was just like, not watching another episode of this tonight. This is just too dark. So anyways, big recommend, guys. Really love Industry. You should check it out.
Sounds great.
If you want to feel like shit,
yeah.
If you want to be like, if you want to feel like shit and think that the world is shit, no. But ultimately,
don't need help with that.
And like I said, it becomes like a thriller in season 4, and at the end of season 4, it kind of hints that the it just got renewed for a fifth and final season, but it kind of hints that the fifth season is going to be up about the rise of fascism. So I'm just like, okay. We're going full dark. But yeah, it's like when I talked to Chris last, I'm like, it's good. I don't know if I would put it in the pantheon of the great HBO Sunday night shows. Mm-hmm. Now that I've caught up with the more recent seasons, I would. I think, you know, if you love a good HBO Sunday night drama, check it out.
Nice. You did remind me with the talk of HBO shows. I did watch, and this is probably not going to interest you at all, but the premise of it wasn't interesting to me, even as a fan of this kind of thing. But we watched The Penguin on HBO.
Oh, yeah.
And surprisingly, like, banger show.
Dude, it's awesome.
Rachel is, like, averse. My wife is averse to mafia stories, and she was all in. She was, like, obsessed with it.
I'm averse to comic book shit, but not when it comes to Batman. And also, like you said, like, this is more almost of, like, a mafia show.
Yeah, and like, talk about a show that like nobody asked for, and like has everything riding against it. It shouldn't work, but man, it's just that good. And the finale is such a gut punch. Like,
speaking of dark,
yes, yes, yeah. My god,
I still remember how it ended, and that's what, like 2 years ago now, and I remember how that that season ended. I was like, Jesus Christ,
dude. Yeah, it ends on such a like a note of like, this is a monster. This is a proper villain.
Very Tony Soprano note at the end. Both with the mom and also what he does, like the horrible.
For sure.
I was trying to get Chris to watch this. I can't remember if he did.
I have not watched it yet. No.
Oh man, it's good.
Yeah.
It's what, like 8 episodes, and that's it.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's like
I highly recommend you can get through it
in a week or two. Yeah.
Watch the Batman right before it, because it plays like it kind of like exists in the fallout of Batman.
It starts right after, like the end of Batman leads right into it. Yeah, and honestly, I think I love the Batman. It's my favorite Batman movie, even though I think it's sloppy as hell and not as satisfying as it should be. But I think the aesthetic of that movie carries it so far to where it's like, That's the Gotham I've always wanted to see. That's like the way that Batman carries himself. It's like, and all of it like is dripping with like gothic kind of pastiche. And I just love putting on that movie just to watch like the opening 10 minutes with his monologue about the city, and there's all this rain and it's crying. Oh man, it fucking gets going, dude. I love it. I'm just saying that like watching the Penguin definitely like enriches that movie like retroactively. It's like makes me more interested in the movie. So yeah, it's a good pairing.
I think I still lean The Dark Knight because it's just so propulsive, but
it's a better movie. The Dark Knight's a better movie for sure.
The Batman, what I love about it is it's like, no, we're gonna make this a sprawling crime drama. And then that it continues the sprawl into the that series. They gotta bring him for the next movie. Like those characters need to be in the next movie.
Yeah, definitely.
So you said that's it?
Yeah, that's it.
Oh wait, I had one more thing I was talking about.
Yeah, we were on you.
Sorry, I cut you off.
That's cool. We got into the fucking Penguin. It's like hell yeah, dude. So I just have one other thing. I saw Marty Supreme, the new, I think, Josh Safdie movie, his first film since Uncut Gems. And like Uncut Gems, Marty Supreme is about a giant asshole who has big dreams. So if you like Uncut Gems, you'll probably enjoy Marty Supreme. It did crack me up that, like, you know, if you see ads for it or whatever, you kind of just assume, okay, it's like a sports biopic, which I guess it kind of is. I think it is based on a real ping pong player. But it is just so, like, if you have, like, an idea of, like a biopic is in your head, this is so, so far from that and so much closer to something like Uncut Gems. Like, it just goes crazy. It goes into, like, crazy, like, it's almost, like, episodic, and it goes into these, like, bizarre adventures. That, you know, get violent and crazy shit happening as this guy pursues his dream of going to, I think, Japan to get in this tournament. And, you know, he wants to be the greatest in the world. Timothy Chalamet, I think, was inspired casting, and he's good in it. But because he's kind of like that in real life, where he's just like so ambitious and nakedly like wants to be considered one of the best at what he does, and that's what his character is here. It just goes, like, even I knowing, like, it was a Safdie movie, like, I was, like, pretty surprised by how fucking, like, I did not expect people to be getting their, like, heads blown off in a ping pong movie, but it happens. It's out there now for, like, the expensive rental price or whatever. But I'm pretty sure it'll be coming to, like, HBO Max. I think HBO Max still has the deal with A24. So give it a month if you want. It's worth checking out. I'd say a lot of fun. Chris, what do you think? You're down for Marty Supreme, or you had enough of their asshole characters?
I think I need a break. Maybe I'll hit it. I'll hit it up when you make me watch it in like 6 years.
Yeah, maybe. I got Chris to finally watch Uncut Gems by reviewing it on the show. One of my favorite movies of the last 10 years. This Uncut I did not Gems. Think is as good. Yeah,
well, you need to like be in the mind space or the head space to where like you're okay with being kind of uncomfortable for a while. That movie is just nonstop like tension, and I loved it. I loved Uncut Gems. I don't know if I'm in a hurry to watch Marty Supreme, but I'll get to it someday.
I would say this. I'd say it's a little more like fun than Uncut Gems is. Like I found Uncut Gems to be more intense. And yeah, just like you're like uneasy, and here it's just like it's a little more zany than the Uncut Gems, but
sure.
But yeah,
I do think that like despite Adam Sandler's character being unquestionably a piece of crap, there's something sympathetic about him, and I don't feel like I would feel that way about Tim Cham.
Yeah, that's what I said to Chris when we reviewed it. I was like, you kind of want to see this like fucking. He's kind of a pathetic character, and you're like, yes, he's a dick and he does really stupid fucking things, but you kind of want to see him pull it off. And when they pull the rug out under you at the end, you're like, damn. But also, I guess he kind of got what was coming. Yeah. But like for me, I like stories about degenerates and people that like are compulsive and can't help themselves. I love that shit. So I was totally in the bag for it, you know.
Yeah.
But that's it for me. That's what we've been watching lately. Except for these two exceptional Albert Pune films that we're going to review. And before we get into them, like, I just want to explain my thinking as to why we're doing this month.
Yeah.
Okay. So, when I was a kid, I'm a child of the 80s, right? My favorite shit growing up, this has been documented on this show a million times, was like Freddy, Jason, Michael, you know, all the slashers. But right kind of below that was this shit. The Van Damme movies, the Seagal movies, just any kind of like dumb action movie. Like I was totally into the whole American Ninja series. I don't know about you guys, but I was like, I think I've seen all of those. And so Albert Pune was like right in that he's very prolific in that era, and he did a bunch of shit. Like he did the two movies we're gonna talk about tonight. He did Doll Man. I remember he did this movie, a virtual reality movie called Arcade, that I remember renting as a kid. I don't remember the movie, but I remember renting. I remember the box, and I remember renting it as a kid. And a few years back, he died, and I made a mental note to that. I said, you know what, maybe one day we'll do an Albert Pune episode. So here we are. That's how we've arrived at these two movies. What the,
I'm looking at his filmography right now, and like the man was, if anything, he worked hard.
Prolific.
Like in 1993.
How many nemesis did he make?
I think he made... He made four Nemesis movies. Mm-hmm. In 1993, though, he made three. He released three movies in 1993.
Wow.
Like this dude was releasing 2-3 movies a year since the 90s. Like crazy.
Yeah, and he'd do low budget schlock, but it was like, you know, it's like low budget with high concept. It's like, how are we going to do the future and robots and shit on like $1 million budget, you know?
Dude, I mean, I kept looking at both of these movies and thinking like, yeah, they have so few resources, but they really created a world here, you know? Like, like despite the like crappy script or crappy action and this and that, it's like they did what they could with what they had, and it's pretty damn admirable. Like, I really love just kind of, I don't know, buying into the premises and like seeing how they crafted all this stuff.
Yeah,
it's very creative.
I just still have like a nostalgic soft spot for these types of movies, you know, like
for sure.
I know they're not good. Nope. I haven't watched most of the, like, unlike the slasher movies, which I've seen 8 billion fucking times now, like, once that era kind of ended, I didn't go back to revisit a lot of Van Damme or any of the shit. So,
right.
Like, I know I saw Cyborg as a kid. I didn't remember a single fucking frame of it, but.
So you're definitely a little bit older than I am, but so like you were seeking these movies out yourself. But I what these movies reminded me of like vividly is, you know, when I'd be in New York for the summer and my grandpa would hang out in his office with a little CRT antenna television in the corner, and he would just lay on the couch in his office and watch this stuff. Like it was always like dusty, crusty action crap, and yeah, he would just watch it all day. Like, and that is 100% what I felt like I was watching one of my grandpa's movies on the TV.
My dad was into this type of shit.
Same for me.
Yeah, so yeah, it just got instilled in me. But yeah, just for whatever reason, and like people should kind of like, I don't know, like it's hard for me to tell, but like I remember like Van Damme and Seagal and stuff being super popular.
They were
like, huge. Yeah, definitely.
It was more than a short time too. Like it was like late 80s to like mid to late 90s. Like those were the two dudes.
And I'll say some of those movies like kind of hold up. What do I say holds up? Bloodsport's pretty fun.
Yeah.
Some of the Seagal, like the guy is terrible, like he's a bad actor. But there's like a few Seagal movies that are good.
Yeah, they're like anything before. Once Under Siege hits, I think it starts going downhill after that. Like Under Siege is his high point. And it's just like,
do you think do you think that Van Damme only succeeded like following Schwarzenegger? Like they needed to prove out that the accent is not a deal breaker. Because like clearly Van Damme, this guy looks great on a poster. Like he's a good looking dude. His body's unbelievable. It's like a freaking action figure. But like as soon as he needs to speak, it's like, okay. That's what we're dealing with here. But I feel like that doesn't happen without Schwarzenegger, like doing Conan the Barbarian and Terminator and all that.
Yeah. So this would be if you have Schwarzenegger doing like the A-level shit, you know, like Predator and whatnot, and then this is like kind of the smaller, low budget, somehow not straight to video, but seems like it should be version of those movies.
Yeah, the trailer for Cyborg, what was interesting, it was basically saying a new hero for a new generation, introducing Jean-Claude Van Damme. So like he wasn't a known name at this point. This is like we got a guy that looks pretty good and we're introducing him to you.
Yeah, it was like his second or third big star, like because he had done Bloodsport before this, which was only the year before. Okay. And No Retreat, No Surrender, where he's like the bad guy in it. But those were like the only two like movies that he had really been in. So Cyborg was kind of it. He also did Kickboxer in 1989 as well.
Crazy. It's like the same movie twice.
Well, Kickboxer is a more valid movie than probably really? Cyborg, but
the Cyborg.
Yeah.
Can I make the argument that these movies' titles should be swapped?
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. They're like in Cyborg, there is a single Cyborg and she is kind of irrelevant. She's just like in the background. Doesn't matter at all. Why is the movie called Cyborg?
Because it's a revenge tale.
Like he's
going after his nemesis in the movie.
Yeah. Yep. And then Nemesis is just about everybody riddled with cyborg. Like who isn't a cyborg? Because you don't know. Because they all look fucking human.
Yep.
Crazy. Let's get the facts out of the way, and we'll get into like what the hell happens in this movie.
Right before we jump into that, Jeff, I just want to read this quote from Pune that he did in 2012. This is on Wikipedia here, but so both of these movies, post-apocalyptic, featuring cyborgs. This is and like a lot of his films are that as well.
Yeah,
like
if you look he had a thing. Yeah.
Yeah, I have really no interest in cyborgs, and I've never really had an interest in post-apocalyptic stories or settings.
Literally every movie.
Yeah, it just seems those situations presented a way for me to make movies with very little money so I could explore the ideas I wanted to explore. So basically, he was like, look, I want to make shit, and the best way to do it is to like film in rundown crap and like make it look like it's from the future. But yeah, he really doesn't give a shit about cyborgs or the post-apocalypse.
That's amazing.
It's weird because like the things that his movies explore are like kind of sci-fi shit.
Yeah.
But I think maybe what you just
very clearly, like,
what I after seeing both of these movies, I was like, you know what? This guy was a good director of like 80s action. So maybe that's what he wanted to explore, is blowing shit up really good. I don't know. I don't know what he means by that.
I mean, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't know if he's a great director of action, or maybe it's that I don't know who's to blame here. It's either, well, I'm let's specifically talk about Cyborg. Like, Cyborg was really frustrating to me because, like I said earlier, the production is impressive. I really like the look of all the enemies. Like, some of them had like fishnets that make their faces obscured. It's kind of creepy. The main boss, like the main guy, he's amazing.
Fender.
Also, Fender.
Also in Nemesis.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. The old guy.
He was in Nemesis, Agent the bad Smith. Guy?
Oh, wait. Yeah, yeah. Oh, the guy from Cyborg was in Nemesis?
Fender, Vincent Klein, who was the main bad guy. He's the one with the sunglasses on all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is he's the bodyguard for the one chick who's naked. He comes in at the end, he like strangles the dude.
Jesus Christ. I watched spoilers. I watched
Michelle.
I watched Nemesis Michelle. Pretty drunk, which was a bad idea. We'll get into that.
I was drunk on Cyborg.
you wanna lay out the film though, Jeff?
Real quick before we get into the details, but yeah. So
welcome to the world of the not-too-distant future.
Get going! Go!
A brutal gang is reshaping the world into their own vision of hell. And only one man can stop them. Jean-Claude Van Damme is leading the battle between good and evil.
Take them out.
As it's never been fought before. He's on a desperate mission to rescue a cyborg who holds the secret for saving the world.
Why did you help me?
I don't want to see you die.
From the dust of destruction rises the warrior of a new age.
Say goodbye, my friend.
Jean-Claude Van Damme has become the first hero of the 21st century. Cyborg.
Cyborg was directed by Albert Pune, written by Albert Pune and Daniel Hubbard Smith. Released April 7th, 1989, had a budget of under $500,000, crazy, and did a box office of $9 to $10 million. So it did okay for its budget, yeah.
Yeah.
What is the fucking premise of this movie? It's that old chestnut that the world has ended, and there's someone that who might have a cure, and we have to get to Atlanta to the CDC to deliver some fucking info that somebody. What is she? There's like a cyborg. She has some data that she has to get to CDC, right?
Am I right so far? Lay that out. Yeah, sure. Yeah.
But what it's really about, for,
like Jean-Claude's type of guy. What are they, like a wielder or a
slinger?
Yeah, he's slinger. Yep.
Okay.
Whatever that means.
It's just a mercenary.
I thought it was a reference to like his thing is knives. Like, he's got a knife in his boot and knife in his like he's just knives. So he's slinging blades.
Sure, that works too.
I accept that.
Okay. Okay.
And also, but like that is like that's what it's about. But then it's like not really, because it's really like Van Damme just wants to kill this group of fucking pirates or whatever the fuck they call them, because
specifically Fender, yeah.
Yeah, because he at one point, like, there's endless flashbacks in this fucking movie of him with the long hair. He looks like a fucking Expedition 33 character.
Yeah, he looks like anime. It's great.
Hey, dude, he literally looks like he's like could be on your party in Expedition 33. So I guess he had this family that he met. He fell in love with this lady, and the bad guy in this killed them. And so, like, he is really just about killing them, but ultimately we're also trying to, like, stop them. Like, the pirates are trying to get this data chip or whatever the fuck. Because they want the cure. He wants to have the cure, and he wants to control it. And I don't think he really wants to fix
the plague. The opening, like, it's voiceover from Fender. Oh, yeah. He's like, everybody wants to save the world. Okay. I like the world.
Yeah, that's great. All right. So, like, literally, Javi, you just touched on my favorite fucking thing about the whole movie, which is the stupid voiceover at the beginning, where, like, you have this guy telling you about how the world has ended, and that a plague came. Then we heard rumors that scientists were close to a cure, and he's like, but why? I like the chaos. I like the... It's just so fucking ridiculous. Which is like...
The need for characters to outwardly say their motives or needs is very funny. There's a part where Fender is just yelling at some random people, and he's like, what do you expect us to swim to Atlanta? I hate the water. I can't swim. I hate it. And I'm like, oh, this dude's going to drown. Yeah. It's amazing.
That's literally the only other thing I really love about this movie. Is he's like, but he says he can't swim because it's so fucking funny the way he says it. Literally, like, so
that has to be how he dies.
This fucking villain is just hilarious. And then, like, I love how the voiceover at the beginning kind of plays with, like, you know, you're kind of hearing, like, the Sarah Connor, this is what happened, blah, blah, blah. And then he's just, but why? I like this. And, like, throughout the rest of the movie, he's kind of the best thing about it. I don't know about you guys, but he just kind of is for me, sure. Like, this ridiculous.
Yeah, he's fantastic. I love his costuming. Like, he's wearing this like chainmail getup, and he has these sunglasses he never takes off. Like, it could be dark out, he has his sunglasses on. He's like reading by candlelight, sunglasses on. Like, he is great.
He's the most charismatic character. Like,
absolutely.
Him. Yeah.
Because Jean-Claude Van Damme's character is just this like stoic, like, I'm on a mission. I'm going to go do my mission. Like, I got to kill this dude. And Fender is just out here like living it up.
Yep. He's evil and he loves it.
I don't know what else you guys want to touch on this movie, because even though we've touched on like nothing.
it's a little bit of history on the guy who played Fender, Vincent Klein. That this was his first role.
I couldn't tell. Amazing.
Surprise, bravo. Right? And Klein just found him. He was a surfer, and Klein was watching some like surf tour or something, and he was like, oh, I like this dude. Is he's a big dude, he's built, and he was like, you want to be in my movie? And he became the villain there, and he worked with Pune on a bunch of other stuff. This guy ended up, he was also in Point Break with Patrick Swayze and Keanu Reeves.
Nice.
Fender?
Oh. Yeah, yeah.
Awesome.
He was a surfer.
Yep.
That's pretty cool.
Yep.
He hates the water.
Just hysterical. I don't know. I love the look of this film. Like, visually, yeah. I think they do a great job of making it look like, hey, like, America is, it is destroyed. This is a phenomenal looking apocalypse. I think it looks like a lived in world too, which is something when we talk about Nemesis, I do have a problem with that. It's like, I can't even remember Jean-Claude Van Damme's character's name. I don't even know if they ever say it, but he like takes the girl that joins up with them. They end up at this like little village, and there's like townspeople there. Like, it seems like a real place, and these people are struggling to survive, and filled with like a wasteland in between of, I guess, North Carolina, because that's like where some of it takes place. I think it just like really, really looks cool.
And I would say like the cinematography is also not like bad. Like, there's one part when they're like running around the sewers and it has this kind of like blue lighting, and I was like, yep, this looks pretty good. Like, visual, like, you know what I mean? Like, that's like the thing about Dune is like, he's working on nothing, and kind of makes it look like a real movie, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, absolutely. The movie looks great. I think that where it falls short, and it's very important that like it, this is to the movie's like downfall, is that the action is bad. Yeah. Really, really bad.
I agree.
Like, and I think that the difference with Cyborg, all of the action is like hand-to-hand combat and knives, and they could not have shot this in a more awkward, slow, like, manner. Like, Jean-Claude can't do a spin kick without like two or three cuts, and it's always like, wow, people waiting for the impact.
to be fair, that is kind of a thing with him. They love to cut that stupid spin kick like over and over and over.
Yeah, sure. I remember that, like, from those movies.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, Chris, his character's name is Gibson Rickenbacker.
That's a horrible
name. How'd you forget?
Jesus Christ. I think the only character's name I know is Fender. Like, I don't think anybody else has a worthwhile name. Or, well, the girl. I think the, not the girl that's with him. The girl who he meets and like gives the medallion to. She is with Fender. I think her name is Haley or something like that.
Okay.
That's so the only
girl,
two.
That's it. That's the girl that had to hold on to the barbed wire when she was younger,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Okay.
See, I also think like a problem with pretty much any like older action movie, at least for me now, is that like anything prior John Wick feels a little dated to me. Like, I'd say anything prior than The Raid feels a little dated to me. Like, I still enjoy it, but like, it just, like, the game is stepped up in the last decade or so.
I mean, this movie is from 1989. It is dated, but like, that still, I think that anybody with a sense for, like, I don't know, action, pacing, and timing, like, just the way that the fighting is shot, is, it couldn't be more tedious and uninteresting. Like, you either can't see what's happening because it's cutting so much, or you're seeing it, but very slowly. And like the stabbing and stuff is like all off camera and kind of awkward. I don't know. I that's the one thing I kept noting, like, because there's a lot of action in this movie and I'm like, this sucks. Like, why isn't the action interesting?
Yeah. All right, maybe you're right, because my thing by the end of the movie was like, it's a cool premise. Like, I love this stupid villain. I like this like setting, but like, I was like, there was just not enough action. There was not enough going on. I was bored so often. Maybe it's just because the action was like you said, not up to par. You get, you know, Van Damme gets to do his bullshit. Like, he does the one, like, he's doing the splits against the wall, like where he's like suspended, and he kills someone with a knife. But I just didn't. There was enough action. Like,
yeah, I think that they have a lot of sequences where like they, when they get ambushed in that like construction yard, maybe it's all construction yards, but like,
like a bombed out building that they're in at one point.
Yeah, where Jean-Claude like ends up hanging from like a like gate on the second floor, and he drops down and catches himself, and it's like right before they crucify him. Which that scene is maybe the highlight of the movie for me, where like he's like hanging there, like, looks like he's about to die, but then he remembers what they did to him, and he gets so mad that he's like, like kicking the pole until he knocks it over. I'm like, yeah, man, this rules.
He somehow kicks it enough to have to break the. Yes. He was, they like crucified him on like a ship's mast, right? Like the ship that they stole. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that was my favorite part, I think. Well, actually, the final boss arena, like where it's just raining and there's like water on the floor.
Visually really neat.
We get we finally get some like knife fights and some white guy karate. And
yep.
Yeah. I don't know.
Mediocre movie. Maybe below mediocre if you really want to get into it, but like there's some memorable moments there. I'm like, and also freaking Fender, dude. All-star. Fender's like a villain I won't forget.
Yeah, same. I'm kind of like with Javi on this. I kind of agree with everything. It's just I just felt that there was not enough action. But yeah, maybe it was just the quality of the action. It was so boring. I didn't consider it action.
I think in a lot of ways, like we'll get to it, but like Nemesis it really ramps up how much action, and
it's the inversion, kind
of mind numbing.
It's the inversion of this. We'll get into that very shortly. But yeah, I don't know. It's okay. I'll go first. I usually make everyone else go first and rate and whatever. But like, I'll just go first. I think to me, it was a nice like return. Like for me, it was like a nice return to this era, like a nice trip down memory lane type thing. But also, if you're gonna do that. Yeah, I got better options. Like, just go with Universal Soldier or fucking anything.
Time Cop.
Yeah, go with Time Cop.
Any of
all the other ones. Yeah.
Like, film after. Like, yeah. Like, I mean, you could look at, like, Kickboxer is better, Lionheart's better, Death Warrant's better, Double Impact's better. Like,
yeah,
and those are all before Universal Soldier. Like,
you are right. Yeah. And I don't remember loving this one as a kid, but like in my head, I always mix it up with Universal Soldier. Like, I think we talked about last time, Chris. I'm like, don't they have like a necklace of ears in this? And that was probably Universal Soldier because I was not in this.
Part of the magic of these kinds of movies, though, is like. Like you said, the high concept and like just I'm looking at the cover right now. It's a cyborg and you got Jean-Claude with his giant gun and like the post-apocalyptic city behind him. Like it makes your imagination run wild, right? Like what is a cyborg? That looks freaking sick, you know? So, and I think that carries a lot of weight, even if
cyborg is not front and center on that but poster
that,
either.
That is a lot. Right. That is a lot of how movies worked in the 80s. Like you just see the box and you're like, I got to fucking see that. And I'm like, a lot of times they don't live up to what you saw on the box, but whatever. But when you're a little kid, you fill in shit with your imagination and you just kind of love it. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sure I did enjoy this when I saw it as a kid.
I say that this hits the box. Like, this hits what it's going for on that box. Like, Jean-Claude Van Damme, no shirt on, looks tough as fuck. Like, Fender looks cool. He's, like, walking towards you. And then, like, the destroyed city in the background. Like, they deliver on all that. Anything else after that, like, hey, like, whatever. But they hit those three. Like, you're getting what is here, what they're advertising.
Yeah. All right, then. What's your score, Chris?
So I am higher on this than both of you. I also have, like, a nostalgic
draw you love to this
film. Yeah, like, as a kid, like, I really liked it. I saw this movie a ton. I don't know why. Like it was just a movie my dad had, and it's like shit that I'm really like into, like post-apocalyptic, like future shit. And at the time, I think Jeff coined it as white guy karate.
I'm stealing that. I'm stealing that from We Hate Movies.
I mean that's what it is, though, right? Yeah, it's not isn't Bruce Lee. This is like this is an Arnold Schwarzenegger type, obviously much more like. Athletic than Arnold was because he was more of a bodybuilder, but like this is that, and I have a strong love for this film. Previously watching it again, I still really liked it, and I think what I like about this film and when we talk about Nemesis, my problem with Nemesis is like this film, it tells you what it is. Like, yeah, the cyborg shit doesn't make sense, but it's a revenge film, right? Like, you get that Jean-Claude Van Damme's character is going after Fender. You understand why. Like, it's a very simple concept, and it's delivered, you know, action-wise, maybe not great, but... And then we get Nemesis, which is, like, incomprehensible.
We'll get to that. I thought so, I was consulting... We're gonna get to this in a minute, but, like, I was consulting Chris last night. I'm like, am I drunk? Which I was, but I'm like, or just like, what the fuck is going? We'll get into it. I had no idea what's going on in that movie.
Yeah, I still like this one. It's the only I've seen Cyborg 2, which has Angelina Jolie in it. That is not a good movie.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm gonna give this a 6 out of 10. I had a good time with it.
I will finish my thought real quickly, which is it's just kind of too boring for all the cool things it has going for it. And it's like, it's like hard for me to recommend. Like, the only people I could really recommend this to is the people that probably would have seen it back when it came out.
Yeah.
Can you imagine showing this to a 20-year-old now? They'd be like, what the fuck
are you on? You like this?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. I'm going 4. It's so funny. I'm usually like very proud of my picks. And this month, I'm just like, oh, God. Not only did I pick movies that are not great, but I dragged a special guest in to fucking suffer with this.
Hey, it's all good.
Javi.
Yeah.
Final thoughts and rating for Simon.
I think, you know, like I said, I really appreciate the production design. I'm with Chris that the simple, straightforward story, like all you need to know is the bad guy hurt the people he loved and he's going to get him back. Right. And that's fine. That's all I need for a movie like this. And then, yeah, like, so like, it's funny because when you look at these things in isolation, like how it looks, the premise, all the stuff, like, all of that I'm totally on board with. It's just the act of watching the movie. it's just quite a drag. It's terribly uninteresting most of the time. Aside from whenever Fender's on screen. And also I do want to point out before we move on, during the final fight, Fender just starts screaming. He just doesn't stop screaming. It's like, what is going on here? Also, their bodies are insane. Both of them. They're both like, what is going on here? Yeah. I don't know how you just find a surfer with like a 10 out of 10 muscle structure, but
there you amazingly go. Fit gentleman in this film.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Cyborg was fun. I wish it was better than it is, but I'm happy it exists, and it was a fun watch, and I probably land in between you guys at a 5 out of 10.
Okay. Sounds good.
Before we move on to Nemesis, Jeff, watching this as like a pervy little 11 and 12 year old, I watched that chick run to the ocean naked multiple times as a child. I would freeze frame that. Like
your first boob. Well, it couldn't have been your first boobs. Cause
no, it wasn't, but it was, it was a movie like that I had access to. Right. Like it was a movie I had access to because like my dad had it and like I would just watch it over and over again. So.
And that's Cyborg.
That's Cyborg.
All right. So Nemesis.
Alex Rain is a human being. His life is more dangerous with each sunrise.
Alex Rain will be destroyed somehow, some way.
He should die for what he's done.
In a future false world, he stands for truth.
He's a cop, all right.
In a violent world, violence is his life. He knows he must face the human condition alone.
It takes more than flesh and blood to be human, Alex.
I can't feel anything anymore.
Maybe you should take the time to find out what you care about, Alex.
You're not really human anymore, are you?
He knows the answer, but he doesn't know the question.
I think he accepted the story. By the time he learns the truth, it'll be too late.
He must face an ever-changing enemy in an eternal fight against an indestructible force.
I need your help with the cyborgs.
The never-ending battle line is drawn. They will never let him go.
Relax.
Help me relax, Marion.
He has what they must have.
Jared's mind and soul, Alex.
In a world where humanity is measured in percentages, only Alex Rain knows the path to redemption, to the cyborg enemy. He is their nemesis.
Directed by Albert Pune, written by Rebecca Charles, released December 26, 1992. Did you guys run out for Christmas in 92 to go watch Nemesis?
Absolutely. I didn't know this movie existed before you brought it up, Jeff.
Yeah.
That looks like the Japanese release date. It looks like.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. January 29th of 93 is US. It did. I'm assuming it did get a theatrical run. It says there's a box office of 2 million.
Yeah.
And there are actually, like, if you look through the Wikipedia, there were, like, reviews by, like, the, Los Angeles Times or whatever. Just, like, there was actual reviewers that reviewed this. I thought this was, like, a straight to video.
Yeah.
So, Nemesis stars Olivier Gruner. Who was like some French kickboxer that they found and wanted to make a star. Takes place in Los Angeles, 2027. Guys, it's something about like this ex-LAPD cop. He gets hired forced to retrieve some stolen plan, I think. Dude, I have no idea what the plot of this fucking movie is. But a bunch of cool shit happens, and so I kind of had a lot of fun with it. Again, I was drinking, so like maybe the plot could be comprehensible. I don't know, but I did not understand what the fuck was going on. I was just like, oh, cool, this happened. Oh, cool, that happened. Oh, cool, it's like the Terminator in the last 20 minutes of it. Fuck yeah. Like, but I have no idea. You guys want to fill me on what the fuck is this movie?
So,
does anyone know?
I can lay out what I gathered from it. Like cyborgs are rising up against the humans, I guess it seems. And so like that opening sequence where they're in the hotel room, she is like wary of like cops hitting them because the cyborgs are labeled as terrorists or something. And then from there, I don't know. None of it really makes
sense. I got you.
All right. So this movie, you did say it leans heavily on Terminator. I think that's definitely true, but it also wants to be Blade Runner at the same time. So like you have this cop who's hunting down cyborgs, and he is a cyborg. So he's a Blade Runner. So he kills her. She like Chris said, she was worried about cops, and she was right to be, because he literally just murders her as soon as he realizes she is a cyborg. But as he encounters other cyborgs who are violent towards him because he's a cop who's hunting them, the one of them says something that gets through to him a little bit, like kind of asking him whether he even knows what it is to be human. And I think that he carries that through the movie over multiple instances where he needs to be rebuilt or reshaped. And I think the movie does a pretty good job at that. Like, I don't know if it was their intent or not, but they're like, the first time you see him after he gets completely mutilated, this man looks like he's made out of like silicone. His whole face is just glossy and
smooth. They fucking RoboCop him halfway through where like he's getting rebooted in their fucking, you know what I mean?
I mean, throw RoboCop in there. It's also that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think that's the, like, a lot of stuff happens in this movie. It's hard to follow, but at its core, I think they're trying to approach the theme of like, what is humanity, even as a cyborg, a person that's all synthetic? Like, do you have humanity? And I don't know that this movie like even actually confronts that thing. It just keeps like bringing it up. One thing that I think that this was like maybe the moment where I was like, I'm not sure I care about what's happening now, was, you know, before getting blown up in that opening sequence, which that sequence is fire. It's really cool.
Yeah, it's so good.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, it's when he's on top of that movie. Yeah, I think so too. He's on top of that.
I think I'll have 20 minutes more, but yes.
Okay. But he starts like sliding down the dirt hill on his back and starts firing as he goes. It's like, dude, it's the coolest thing I've ever seen. But yeah, he saves a puppy. He puts a puppy inside of a box to protect it from the rocket. I'm like, oh,
and
cool.
The one girl who's sniping him is like, ooh, he's got a soft spot or
right,
like that.
Right. And then, you know, next thing we know, he's rebuilt and the dog is an adult and is running through the sand dunes with him. It's like, okay, this is cool. Okay, interesting. He just leaves that dog to get horribly murdered by cyborgs. And he doesn't care. Like, all we get is like a silhouette of him presumably burying the body. But like, he just leaves that dog in that place, like not a care in the world about what happens to it. And that's the point where I'm like, dude, what is this guy's deal? Like, the movie seems uninterested.
Yeah, like at that point, because like the cyborgs that come that like kill the dog, well, the one kills the dog, they are coming to recruit him back to the LAPD because he's been in like recuperation or something. And he's like, no, I quit. And like, I guess he quits the dog too, because like he just leaves the dog in the bar.
Yeah. Well, and so also the movie is confusing, and perhaps the movie is confused because when he says like that, like the police chief or commissioner like betrayed him or whatever, we get told that no, the commissioner has been replaced by a cyborg. So.
Yeah.
Are we meant to like conclude that at its core the cops are good, but they've been infiltrated by cyborgs, which makes them bad, but then they're hunting cyborgs, so what's going on? Like, I don't know.
I just found again, I was drinking, which is I thought how you should watch these movies, but I was like, what? Like the whole movie I'm like, I have no idea what the fuck is going on. But then there'd be things that happen that like would make me cackle. Like when he's in that bar at the beginning, when he's like, she's like, what do you want? He's like, I want revenge. He just shoots her and fucking she goes flying into the fucking post. And it's fucking great. Like,
I mean, Jeff sent me the trailer for this movie when he asked if I'd be interested in being on the show. And that is perhaps the best trailer I've ever seen in my life. Like the trailer for Nemesis is incredible. Unfortunately, the movie not so much.
I'm gonna have to look it up when I edit this to add it into it. But yes. I did not watch the trailer, but maybe I'd like that more.
It's got the classic action movie VO guy who's like, you know, nice. One of my favorite lines is he knows the answer, but he doesn't know the question. It's like, yeah, dude, me too.
Nobody else does either.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. There's like cool shit that happens in this, like. There's one part, he's like in an apartment building or something, and he starts shooting the floor in the circle so he could go down to the floor below. Fucking awesome, dude.
It's super cool.
That was like my thing, is like, when I watched Cyborg, I was like, that's what I expected out of Cyborg, and I just felt like there wasn't enough of that. And this has like so many cool things. And when you get to the last 20 minutes of this, it's like this old dude chasing him and this girl through a fucking jungle. And so many fucking cool things happen. There's like a one Tarzan moment where he comes fucking swinging on a fucking vine and he kicks the fucking dude. There's a part where they jump off of like a cliff into like, you know, basically down a waterfall. And I don't know what happened. Like, they somehow blew up the fucking robot that's chasing them. I don't, what happened there?
I have no idea.
Like the, it's like an old, like, it's like an old fucking like 7-year old dude who's like chasing them. He's a robot.
There were like two robots chasing him at that point.
Are you talking about like when he when it goes full Terminator and is all?
Yes. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Okay. So
late in the movie. Here,
yeah. That's like the final boss. They jump off and they're really proud of this shot because they used it in the trailer as well. I'm like, that's the end of the movie. But they jump off the waterfall, and as the woman is falling, she's doing a front flip, and she fires a shot out of her gun and somehow nails the guy with like a flame round or whatever.
Yeah,
so it burns. Yeah, it burns the flesh off of him, and then a stop motion robot emerges. Yes,
that's the thing. It's like bullets in this movie are bombs. So like right before he's chasing them, he like shoots his shotgun at a tower. He's like 100 feet away from this tower, so somehow like a shotgun goes 100 foot range and explodes the tower and knocks it over and causes another fucking explosion. I was messaging Chris. I was like, dude, am I fucking high as shit? Or did this guy just shoot down a tower with a shotgun? And Chris is like, I think that this movie thinks that bullets are like
ballistic missiles.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so bullets and slugs are ballistic missiles in this world.
It's fucking cool though. I was like lit, and I was like, I have no idea what's going on in this movie. I started trying to rewatch it again today, and I was like, I can't take this. And I just skipped to the last 20 minutes, and the last 20 minutes are so fun. Like, so like, yeah, after they jump off that fucking waterfall. And she shoots the bullet up that blows him up. He like emerges, like you said, it's like a Terminator endoskeleton robot. It looks way cheaper than Terminator. It looks terrible, but like there's a certain charm to how that looks, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And then like they're like get on like this plane, and he's like hanging from the fucking plane.
That piece right there is some amazing CG, like, or whatever they did.
Stop motion CG. I think it's stop motion.
Yeah, well, because like they have the shot of the plane coming out of this cave. Were they in the cave? Like, it doesn't even make any goddamn sense. They're coming out, and all of a sudden it just looks like they cut out a plane and put it on like
the
frame of
This is my note. My note was terrible graphics.
Yeah. Oh my god. I was like, what the hell am I watching?
But I do love when he gets on the plane, he looks like a Terminator like robot, but he's got an eyeball, and he goes, "State of the art, Alex."
Yes.
Beating the shit out of him. Give it up, Alex.
He keeps saying state of the art every time.
And then like he's like hanging, like Alex is holding him, and he's like hanging from this fucking plane that they're in, and Alex just rips his arm off and lets the thing fall. He said something stupid about it. He's like, you can keep it or something stupid. Like that. That's like, again, to me, like if I remember this movie at all years from now, it's just gonna be like the cool action scenes and like the ridiculousness of it. And like the low budget Terminator ripoff-ish of it. And like Javi said, yeah, there's kind of like that Blade Runner thing too they're trying to do. Obviously derivative of everything that had happened in the 80s, but like even though I didn't know what was going on, I like enjoyed it because it's just like it's a perfect like background. Like if you're into this era of movies, you can kind of go around, make a sandwich, fuck it, you know.
Yeah.
Fold laundry and catch stupid funny lines and cool little action bits. And I kind of was okay with it. I don't know about you guys, but
I feel like checking in randomly on this movie will make you less confused than watching it like with attentive.
Yeah, because
I
found the plot to be like so poorly expressed. Like we're just like, what?
Yeah, definitely.
And his fucking hair changes every 10 minutes too. That's the other thing. Like the main guy. One time he's got
to show that he's a cyborg.
You see. Then he's got long hair. He's got Rambo hair, and then all of a sudden he's got like a normal haircut. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'll throw the floor to you guys and let you talk about whatever you want to talk about this, or if you want, wrap it up because I don't have much else to say. Like I was confused by it, but I thought there were so many fun things about it.
I touched on it earlier with Cyborg, but like that movie was a bunch of like really mediocre hand-to-hand combat, and the thing with Nemesis, it like overdoses on gunfire, and it's a whole lot of footage of people shooting and nothing getting hit. You know what I mean?
So we're just blowing up around them as they run away.
Yeah.
And it goes on and on and on. It's just, you're just like listening to the sound of gunshots, and I'm like, man, I wish something would happen.
Just why I think like that opening sequence is so good, because he's fighting off like seven dudes and he's like slowly taking them out, and like he's really getting them again,
condensed and creative.
Yeah. And then from there on, it's like, what is going on?
And it's also just like, how many movies start off with like an action sequence that goes on this long? Like it lasts like 10 minutes. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's a long run. Yeah.
And again, I think that like the movie Nemesis is best consumed through the trailer, because they highlight, like, I feel like they were like, what is everything awesome that we accomplished on, or that we captured on film for this movie? And they made sure to put it all in that like 2-minute trailer. And so like when you watch that, you're like, holy shit, that looks so expensive and impressive, you know? Like it has like the buildings cool falling over right next to the actors. It has the slide down the mud slide while they're like,
oh yeah, you know, the mud slide is so fucking so awesome.
Yeah, it's awesome.
It's like one of those bumpy carnival slides, but there's like mud and shit that we're shooting at each other.
It has the scene you were talking about where he shoots out the floor to fall down to the
wall. Like,
yeah, it's great. Really great.
Yeah, I don't know. I just sucks. Feel like movie sucks. I just feel like the movie encapsulates like a lot of what I like about the era, but while also being like very hard to follow, I found.
Yeah, it's like normally movies like this are pretty easy to follow, right?
Like, it's like Cyborg. They're basic. I'm going to get revenge or
simple
whatever.
Premise. Yeah. And in this, like, I'm getting confused with characters. Like, I thought the chick who's naked in the hotel room was his ex-girlfriend. And it's not. It's
like, yeah.
It doesn't matter, but it's like, what are we doing? Like, yeah.
Like, could you imagine me watching this? Like, I'm like three bourbons deep trying to follow the plot. And I'm just gave up. I gave up. Show me some cool shit. And they did. And I was happy.
Yeah. Again, there's stuff here. I like, as you guys mentioned, the slide that has all the mud. Like that's a fun scene. Like I'll remember that. That was neat. That whole opening sequence was cool. All the bullets that they fire that make gigantic explosions everywhere for no apparent reason. But then there's like bits like this world just doesn't feel lived in. Like when the hotel does, like it feels like this is a hotel and he's being chased through it. And then for some reason, it's just like a wasteland outside this nice hotel. But then everything after that is like, all right, well, they have like this little, it's like an old Baja, I guess, is where the bar is. And he just walks over there and without shoes on. There's nobody else in this entire little town except for these two cyborgs that run a bar. Well,
budget, you know, budget.
Right. I mean,
yeah, like for how low budget this is, like some of the effects are really cool. Like,
and it's like that's seems to be where, like, he spent his money there instead of like making it like a lived in world, like, which I guess is fine. Like, it just, it was just took me off. I was like, none of this was really working for me.
Well, that's the bummer of both of these movies, though. Like, they have a lot of talent in certain, mostly in production. Like, the cyborg, the practical cyborgs that you see on screen. Like, even when one of the characters, like, eye or face opens up and there's a gun behind
that blue one underneath the, is that that piece of that screen, is that blue guy there?
So there's that one. There's, it happens a couple times in the movie. Here's another one, actually. I mean, it's a little silly for sure, but like, it looks awesome, you know.
I love that, like, in this and in Cyborg, like, anytime they were doing like the like dummy heads and stuff like that, like, I don't know, they're like, or like in Nemesis, like the CG and the stop motion, like, yeah, it looks hokey now, but it's like, to me, there's just like a certain charm to it. Like, I really like the tactile feel to it.
Let's shout out to the little old granny that shoots the guy brown.
That was funny.
Yeah. Our protagonist is like watching. He's like, they don't take no shit. I like this place.
There's a part where there's like an explosion and like a bunch of people like fly out of a building. Like, the windows explode and a bunch of people fly out. And you can see a bunch of dummies fly out. It's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
I don't know. Again, I have no idea what happened in this movie. I won't remember most of it. I'll probably never watch it again. But I thought there were, like, despite not knowing what was going on, really, there was, like, so many memorable, like, action scenes and stuff in this that, like, I kind of enjoyed it. So for me, this is like it's above Cyborg. I give it a 5 out of 10. Javi, what do you, final verdict? And
I think it's a tough one, especially comparing these two, because they both have
different strengths.
Yes, exactly. Right. Like, Nemesis doesn't have what's his name? Exhaust or what? Fuel. What is the guy's Fender? Muffler? Fender.
Fender.
Exhaust.
Yeah, this doesn't have Fender, which, you know, takes it down a few ticks for sure. But I do like the honestly, I wish they kept the original design of the protagonist in the giant brown trench coat. I think that was like I could see a NES game like with that sprite.
Like, you know what the protagonist was supposed to be? Oh
yeah, absolutely.
What?
If you read the Wikipedia, the protagonist was supposed to be a 13-year-old girl. So Alex was supposed to be a 13-year-old girl, and the studio made him change it.
Weird.
I don't know.
Doesn't make any goddamn sense. Doesn't
make any sense, yeah.
Be like a battle angel, a leader.
But he like went along with that, and then he's like, "I get creative control to do everything else." It's like, okay,
interesting,
cool.
So Nemesis, I appreciate a lot of it. It is way more like, despite what's it called, Cyborg being a very cookie cutter story you've heard a thousand times.
Yeah,
borrows from so many sci-fi films of the same.
It's like literally, it's The Last of Us. It's fucking
yeah. Like, even like the cyborg design is like Terminator. Like, you got the red eyes and everything. So it's not like super interesting when there's like such better versions of that stuff out there. But it was fun. I think I probably land at the same score. Probably still a 5. If I really push it, maybe we land at a 4, because I think Cyborg is a little bit less annoying. I found Nemesis kind of like, the wall of sound was like over. I was just like, man, this is this is kind of tough to tolerate at a certain point.
Chris?
Yeah, I think it has. I think it has some better action sequences for sure than Cyborg. That opening is fucking phenomenal.
It is great.
And the mudslide thing is hysterically stupid. and I think that some of the, you know, I didn't like this film at all, but some of the effects work they do is really like the Terminators look good. Like the cyborgs actually do look neat.
I mean, for $2, they had a budget of like $200. Yeah, not bad.
Yeah, like very impressive work on that end. But I don't know. It did generally not work for me. So I'm gonna go with a 4 here. I'm flabbergasted that this got 4 sequels. But I do love the title of the third movie, Nemesis 3, Pray Harder.
Yes.
That's pretty good.
Javi just shared a shot of the robot dying. It's like he's like falling into a volcano.
Yeah. I don't remember where they are, but that's the thing. Like, oh, you want to take a tour of the volcano? And he's like, no, not really. And that's where this plane is located. It's in some like cave lair inside the volcano, and that's where they leave out of. So they're flying over the volcano, and he drops them down.
At least they foreshadowed that, because I didn't hear that line, and I'm like, why is there a volcano?
It's also funny when he drops them, the dude's like, nah.
Funny stuff.
I don't know. So it sounds to me like Cyborg is the winner here.
Like barely.
By an inch.
They're pretty even.
Yeah.
For me, I just, again, would go against you guys and be the minority here. I think that that Nemesis, for as much as I could not follow what was going on, I love seeing like a Terminator skeleton thing running around. So
sure.
There's that. Cyborg, the better Albert Pune film between Nemesis.
Better is stretching it. But.
Yeah, I think on any. It really could change from any whatever day you're watching.
Yeah. And what like you're prioritizing, I guess, right?
I put them both at 5, but like, you know, if I had watched Nemesis first, maybe I would have more stamina for it. And then I would go into Cyborg and feel more negative.
Yeah, true.
On
you
that,
watch them,
you know?
Yeah, back to back.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Well, rest in peace, Albert Pune. You gave us some great schlock.
Yeah.
Chris, what are we doing for next month?
We are going to watch a pair of Stephen King movies directed by some horror masters. So we're going to watch 1983's The Dead Zone, directed by David Cronenberg. Cool. And we're going to watch 1993's The Dark Half, directed by George Romero.
Awesome. I haven't seen either of these in forever.
I've not seen either of these ever. So
you've never seen them?
Nope. Nope. Oh, I've read The Dead Zone, but I'm going to read The Dark Half sometime this month so that...
The Dead Zone was like a pretty decent Cronenberg movie. Like, it's been a long time, but yeah, I remember really liking it.
Yeah.
Have you seen these two?
No, neither of them.
Oh, wow. Dark Half.
I've heard of The Dark Half.
I remember really liking The Dark Half as a kid.
Michael Rooker.
Wow. It was like a writer who like his evil twin shows up and tries to like replace him and kill him or some type of deal.
Yeah, my understanding is kind of like a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde type thing where it's basically his
alter ego. I remember really digging it as a kid, like right when it came out. And Dead Zone I was never into, but like looking back on it, I think about it, it's like about a guy who sees like an evil politician rising. So it has relevance.
Yeah, and he touches people and he's able to see like the future or able to see like things about them.
He can see that like this guy, if this guy rises in power, it's bad.
Yeah.
Type thing. Yeah. It's been forever since I watched either of these. Like, I think I saw Dead Zone as a little kid, but I'm aware of what it's about. And then I saw Dark Half when it came out, so I would have been like 10 years old or, you know, whatever. Cool.
Young Christopher awesome. Walken. Nice.
Yeah, yeah.
Javi, thank you for joining us.
Yes.
You're welcome.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure. Time.
I will always invite you when I am doing my worst picks of the year.
I appreciate that.
No, but for real, anytime if you see something we're doing, you want to come on. Or if I try to like think of things like, I feel like I have a little bit of your sensibilities, so I'm like, oh, I think he might have fun with this or whatever, you know. But also, you're like a movie guy who kind of enjoys it.
Like yeah, I'll watch whatever. Yeah. But yeah. It is funny though. I'm looking at your letterbox and like our top films. We both have Halloween and Terminator in there. So
yeah,
like minds.
Yeah. Forever. Yep. All right, guys. It's been fun. Rest in peace, Albert Pune, and we'll see you next month.
Yep.
Bye bye.